The National Airlines 727 time slip. A plane obviously heads down on the way into an airport. What if it then hits a relatively small vortex into time-space? In 1974, Charles Berlitz wrote a tantalizing three-paragraph summary of an event just like this in his classic book, The Bermuda Triangle. In this account, Berlitz says the plane was approaching from the northeast, meaning it would be traveling southwest. But as we will see, Martin Kaden interviewed many more eyewitnesses and said the plane was coming in west of Miami International, meaning it was traveling east, making it even more likely to be heading into the future if it did hit such a vortex. An incident involving time-lapse occurred at the Miami airport about 5 years ago, which has never been satisfactorily explained. It concerned a National Airlines 727 passenger plane, which, on approach to landing from the northeast and being tracked on radar by the Air Control Center, suddenly disappeared from the radar screen for about 10 minutes and then reappeared. The plane landed without incident, and the pilot and crew evinced some surprise over the expressed concern of the ground crew since, as far as the crew was concerned, nothing unusual had happened. By way of an explanation, one of the air control staff said to one of the pilots, "Man, for 10 minutes you just did not exist." It was at this point that the crew checked their watches and the various time indicators in the plane and discovered that they were uniformly 10 minutes slow according to real time. This was especially remarkable as the plane had made a routine time check 20 minutes before the incident, and at that time there was no time discrepancy. There seems to be much missing from this story if it is really true. You have an entire plane full of people who spontaneously popped 10 minutes into the future. If they were at 8:50 p.m. when they went in, they were still at 8:50 p.m. when they came back out, even though everyone else's watch now said 9 p.m. Thankfully, a pilot and researcher named Martin Kaden did a much more thorough investigation of this incident and reported his results in his 1991 book, Ghosts of the Air. Kaden didn't just read books about it. I spoke to some of the people involved, airline captains, friends of mine who aided in research, officials of the Federal Aviation Administration, a literal host of investigators all pooled their information to bring it together before I put this down on paper. Kaden writes that the 727 was coming in for a landing at Miami with all their equipment working just fine. The pilots followed the air traffic controller's instructions and turned the plane when they were asked to, heading in on the invisible corridors they were assigned. Then, without warning, their blip on the radar disappeared. Of course, this could be caused by electrical failures, radar glitches, or a crew member switching off the transponder system. But it also meant the 727 could have crashed into the swampy ground far to the west of Miami International. Now, by necessity, there was a real panic. Immediately, the alarms sounded. The reactions are automatic. The word goes out from Miami approach and departure and the tower for all aircraft in that sector to look for a 727 that's gone off the scope. Pilots strain to see any signs, a reflection of sunlight from metal, a flashing strobe, bright flames, rising smoke, anything. Nothing. She was gone. Miami approach hit the alarm signals to the Coast Guard and other rescue forces. Choppers bolted from the ground and raced to the last known position of the National 727. Nothing. Then, precisely 10 minutes after the radar blip vanished from the set scopes in Miami approach, the blip reappeared before the astonished eyes of the people now crowded around that radar position. Reappearance was strange enough, but this was 10 minutes after the 727 had disappeared, and now it had reappeared in exactly the same position it held in flight when it vanished, both on radar and in flight. It may have moved slightly, but only enough to cause a 10-minute time slip. The 727 pilot continued talking with Miami Approach and then Miami Tower in an absolutely calm voice. Nothing unusual could be discerned from his tone or his words. The still astounded radar operator worked the 727 in closer and then handed off the airliner to the tower for final landing instructions. The 727 slid in, flaps extended and gear down, and made an absolutely normal landing. The airliner was directed to park in an area separate from the terminal gate. When it stopped and the doors opened, federal investigators and officials of National couldn't get into that jetliner fast enough. The crew regarded with some astonishment of their own this unexpected and unexplained flurry of activity and barrage of questions. Then they were told what had happened. You disappeared from the scope on your descent. For 10 minutes, there was no radar picture of you people. When you came back on the scope, your position was exactly where it had been. Not only that, but several airliners flew through the space you had occupied in those 10 minutes. What happened up there?